This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday the 11th of January. And you know what? I just had the realization that this is the first week in 2021 that three of us are together again. How does it feel?
It feels like last year was quite a long time ago.
It's now, only been 2 weeks, Noelle.
Yes, precisely. So many things have happened.
I have follow-up questions. What have you been doing since the last time we were on air that it's felt like so long?
Yeah, I have no idea. I think it's because so many things have happened. Yeah. What's happening in the US and also in Malaysia.
Yeah, that's true. We've had a very busy, certainly, first 11 days of the new year. Roshan Kanisan, how are you feeling today?
Optimistic.
That's
although, actually, I'm not sure why I said that. It felt pressure to be positive this morning the minute you asked me that question. And the first thing I said, I'm not even sure how I'm feeling this morning. But I guess optimistic isn't a bad word to use for 2021, despite the negative news flow that we've had over the last week, primarily from the US. There is still the vaccine rollout that's going on and things like that. So hopeful, I guess. But we'll see. Cross fingers and toes and anything you can cross really at this point.
Yeah, I guess, you know, 2021's had maybe a few teething problems as it got started. But hey, we still got a whole year ahead of us.
You know, we often talk about the base effect, right? And I keep seeing tweets on Twitter about how people are saying, well, 2021, all you have to do is be better in 2020. That's not a tough job to do. Well, we'll have to wait and see.
We will indeed. But in the meantime, we do have a very interesting show lined up for you today. In the next hour or so, what are we talking about, Noelle?
Right, at 6:30, we're looking at Indonesia. I think they have located the black box of the crash. That's really quite sad. I mean, not sad, but it's sad news. But it's good news that they found the black box. And something about Trump impeachment.
Jang, jang, jang. We'll see. This is not the first time this song has been sung, but we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. Because not only that, there are also people who are basically in response to what Trump has been doing over the last 1 week. Facebook and Twitter have locked Trump out of his accounts. In fact, Twitter permanently banned him. So that question we'll be asking that is this censorship?
So if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us over at BFM Radio. We are going to be taking a look at some potential goals that you've had that you might have in 2021 and asking whether a virtual buddy can help you get through with that. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Can't Get Enough by Bad Company, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noelle. So the first thing we are tackling this morning is the subject that everyone always likes to talk about at the start of the year, right? Which is goals. And a lot of the times, you know, most of us go into a new year, a common refrain is, I'm going to exercise more. But a lot of the times that kind of falls by the wayside as you go through the year. So Fast Company is talking about, you know, what potentially might help you stick to that. And there's interesting research to suggest that things like working out in a group helps you stay motivated, makes you more likely to stick with the activity because of the social elements that come along with it. So it's not just a pair of headphones in the open road. It's you and a buddy, and that buddy can help you help carry you along when you're feeling unmotivated. What do you guys feel about this? Do you find that you work out better with a buddy?
I have to say this first and foremost. Exercising goal is always the one that I never meet every year.
Therefore, you need a buddy, Noelle.
Yes. So that's something actually I've never considered. But there are moments where I actually do meet the goal, at least the short goals. So I realized that if you keep it short and you keep a consistent routine, the main thing is to keep it short so it doesn't feel like it's a torture, right? And I find that I am able to maintain that momentum. But I have to say, I've never considered having a buddy. And I'm not sure if anyone wants to buddy with me because, you know, I'm such a poor, you know, I'm so poor at, you know, keeping up with my exercise goals.
Well, everyone has to start somewhere, right, Noelle? So I think that's the important thing. And a good buddy will not kind of make you feel bad about potentially not being able to make that session or just being too tired some days, but they'll help motivate you, right?
Yeah, and also, you know, having an exercise buddy, I'm not someone who likes to work out with other people, so I'm not going to have an exercise buddy per se. But accountability buddies are something that I could get on board with, because I have found in the past that being accountable to someone else other than myself has helped in me in retaining or at least prioritizing the goals or the things that, or the habits I want to build, right? So a few years ago when I was running every day, I used to post it on Instagram every day, right? There was a certain level of accountability. I used to post logs up there, but that, of course, there was a much bit, a wider health health concern that I was dealing with back then.
So what you did was you made social media your workout buddy.
Yes, I did. There was a certain level of accountability to the people who were keeping track of my health. I didn't have one accountability buddy. I had multiple. There was my parents or my friends. Everyone who knew of my health concerns were like keeping track of it and be like, oh, why didn't you do this? And it wasn't a matter of, oh, you didn't do this today in schooling. It was a matter of, oh, I see you didn't do this today. What's up? Is there anything else? So it's really getting someone to be your coach, right? In the corner of the ring there, someone who's there, who's got your back essentially, and doesn't make you feel bad that you've missed a day or two, but helps you get back on the bicycle and keep riding forward. You don't want someone to berate you or hit you over the head with a hammer. We do that enough to ourselves and as it is. But the accountability buddy is someone that pulls you forward, urges you forward, even when you don't think you have it in you. Building those small habits, as Noel said, it's starting it small, right? And then growing it larger and larger, because you want it to be sustainable. Most of us don't reach our goals because we either start too big and then fail.
And then we get distracted.
Or we get disheartened by it. But, you know, starting with like a 5-minute walk or 10-minute walk, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm starting with simple goal. Every day, I just want to do 10 minutes of movement. And then from there, we'll work upwards.
So I think I'm a little bit different in the sense that I've tried the accountability buddy thing, but I find that I still... It doesn't give me that boost that that I need to really exercise on a prolonged basis. So what I've tried was that, okay, you know, I'm on the bicycle, accountability buddies on the treadmill. We're each doing our separate thing, and we kind of check in with each other every once in a while. And I'm like, that doesn't really work for me. What actually did work for me for a while was when I was kickboxing with someone, because I found that even in school, in sports, right? When it came to the sports that I identified with, I was very much a sports team player. So when I had someone, you know, literally facing off with me, holding the pads that you're supposed to hit and say, okay, you know, you're doing a jab here, a cross here, a kick, that was a lot more effective in pulling me along and keeping me going even through the most rigorous cardio workouts I'd ever had, than someone who just kind of checked in, like kind of you float in every once in a while and then you float back out.
Yeah, so judging by what happened last year with the COVID-19 and actually still now, you know, there are a lot of apps out there, right, that can help you, you know, maintain some sense of accountability, and it has a social media option built in as well. And I've found, right, doing that small, having that small habits help. And also at 8 a.m., I will go and exercise, right, because that's that break for us. So I think, you know, on your point about, you know, what makes a best buddy, and I think it will be your colleagues, right? So in our downtime later on, we could all just plank, right, for 3 minutes or 1 minute.
Do you still have a yoga mat in the
Yes, yes,
the office,
it's in my locker.
Oh, there you go. The secrets of the morning run.
I am not on board with this.
You don't want to plank with us?
I will just stick to my 10-minute walk for right now. But, you know, you're right, Noel. It's the people who are around you, they can keep you accountable. But also, I think it's a double-edged sword, right? Because you don't want to create an anxiety around the people that you hang around the most. The line is between someone who keeps you accountable versus someone who irritates you and starts getting on your nerves or starts bugging you. That's very important. There are accountability buddies who take it too far or don't read the room. It's not about being in each other's faces. It's about, again, over time, having that consistent check-in. Because sometimes exercising can feel like you're alone, that you're not, that, you know, you're doing it in a void. But if you have someone else who knows that you're working out and knows that you are doing certain things to keep your health in order, even a simple WhatsApp group or group message or whatever can just be like, hey guys, this is what I did today. You don't have to post it to the whole world. start a group with two or three friends that you trust.
I think the key is that you can't have an accountability buddy who makes you feel bad about yourself, right? Or your failure to do things. And finding someone who can maybe say, hey, I know you've been really busy and haven't had time to work out this week, but next week, why don't we find some time to do this?
That is, unless you're someone who thrives on proving other people wrong, then it's a different situation, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think what's important, you have to exercise according to your body needs. So your body has to be, you know, understanding about that.
Yeah, and I think so. I think all three of us here in the studio have very different needs when it comes to accountability.
I'm going to plank.
Buddies.
I will not be planking.
Why don't you let us know what you think and whether or not a virtual or a physical workout buddy would help you achieve that exercise goal. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, some messages. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was I Need a Miracle by The Graceful Dead, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 6:20 in the morning, Monday the 11th of January, and this past week has been quite an exciting one if you've been observing what's been happening in the US. And over the weekend, we've had news that major social media platforms, Facebook as well as Twitter, have locked President Donald Trump's accounts after he posted a video praising the rioters who stormed the US Capitol last week. And this has raised some questions over whether or not this is a form of these social media platforms practicing censorship, right? Because what they did come out to say was this violates our terms and conditions, you know, inciting violence. But in the past, they have also shown a marked hesitancy to fact check or to impose these rules on President Donald Trump at all. So the conversation now has turned to kind of the freedom of speech angle. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't think that conversation applies here. I think these are two separate things. I do think that there is a concern over freedom of speech and censorship in terms of the platforms that are general, that we have, Facebook, Twitter, whatever is there out there. But I don't think it's about the people who we know, like the Trumps of the world, that are subject to these kind of things. It's the people on the ground who have, who maybe say something that is taken out of context or that is flagged by Twitter and then blocked or whatever. It's the more people on the ground situation. Donald Trump has for 4 years been spewing lies, and he's been getting away with it because he's the president of the United States. It took the last week's storming on the Capitol for them to finally decide that it was too much, right? That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And when you look at his tweets, so Twitter actually put out a statement on this to explain how they came to this decision, because they initially banned it for 2 weeks. A permanent ban is a big deal, right? Especially considering how much Donald Trump loves Twitter. And they basically took to analyzing the tweets that he had put out and said, their opinion was that essentially this was inciting violence because it sounded like, based on the broader context and the anger that you were seeing in response to his Twitter posts, the replies that, you know, there was on and off Twitter, basically tweets circulating about an armed protest happening on the 17th. Mm. So again, you could see that anger starting to boil over, and that's why Twitter took this decision. And you can bet that this was not taken lightly, because Donald Trump has, what, 85 million followers, and Twitter isn't exactly in the most prosperous of times of its life at this point.
Yeah, this recent decision by Facebook and Twitter to ban or block Trump's accounts did make me wonder, where do you actually draw the line? Who makes the decision? Okay, let's assume there was a committee who made the decision, presumably a committee of people who are in the position to do so. But really, where do you draw the line? And this is just Donald Trump in the US, right? What if the same policy also apply in, you know, markets, emerging markets, where it tends to be a bit more, even more cowboy-ish, if I may say. Can it be used to squash the opposition? Like if say a government say the Hong Kong government, right? They say, okay, well, these people are inciting violence. They now have a base to say to Facebook and Twitter, look, you've banned Donald Trump for inciting violence. You should also likewise ban the opposition for calling for protests and so forth.
Yeah, I think it is a very fine balance that we have to strike here, right? In the case of Donald Trump, I think, you know, a lot of the scrutiny around him is chiefly because he is the president of the United States. This is effectively the most powerful country in the world right now. So, you know, great power comes great responsibility.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was like,
in the words of Ben Parker.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but I think if we broaden this conversation to behaviors on social media in general, right? I'm not saying that there aren't harmful behaviors that have been displayed, not just by those who swing further right on social media, but also by what's been termed the liberal left, right? People show a marked inability to acknowledge opinions other than their own. And when freedom a lot of the conversations around freedom of speech, I find, tend to be very self-centered. It is, it is my freedom of speech. I have the right to say whatever I want. But by that token, the other people in the room also have the right to say what they want and have the right to be heard.
Correct, exactly. The freedom of speech doesn't mean the freedom of consequences. Exactly. I think we keep forgetting that, or at least Americans keep forgetting that, because it's their right, right? It's like, I'll say whatever I want, and then basically, let the consequences be the consequences. I have the right to say whatever without consequences. That's not what the right is, right? And Twitter has its rules. Every platform has its rules. These are private companies. They're at the day.
And when you make accounts on these companies, you are acceding to their terms and conditions.
Correct.
The fact that we don't read them is another matter.
The pattern of behavior that you're seeing that they've noticed with the president of the United States, who, again, should be scrutinized more because he is the president of the United States. And while there are always debates over right and left and who is worse and whatever, which I think is generally a false equivalency here, because you don't see an equivalent a figure on the left. Mm-hmm. There is no one the equivalent of Donald Trump on the Democratic side or the left side in terms of the sheer magnitude of her role and the things that they say. And he has been instigating and stoking this flame for a very, very long time.
Yeah, so understandably, because he has a very wide influence and therefore Facebook and Twitter feel compelled to do something. But a rule is a rule. So the question is, were there other options? Like, for example, putting up a warning, like something, this tweet is inaccurate.
They did do that, and they removed the ability to retweet and like a lot of
Yeah, so, you know, instead of an outright ban, but, you know, I'm not just thinking about Donald Trump, right? I'm thinking about, you know, other things. When we set a policy, we have to think of, you know, but what is the average that can happen.
Yeah, so this is just for the US, right? Other countries already have tweets and Facebook posts taken off because they have to comply with the rules of those respective countries. So that's already happening out there. Here it was, I guess it came down to the fact that this was that last week's line was too far crossed.
So let us know what you think about this. Was this a form of censorship? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're about to head into the 6:30 news bulletin now. And here to take you there is Sunday Girl by Blondie, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Sweet Disposition by The Temper Trap, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin-Mark, Roshan Kanisan and Noel Lim. It is 6:40 in the morning, Monday the 11th of January, and over the weekend we have had some sad news coming out of Indonesia, because not that long ago, flight SJ-182, a Boeing 737-500 with Sriwijaya Air, disappeared from radars about 4 minutes after takeoff. It was flying to Pontianak in West Kalimantan from, I believe it was Jakarta. The plane, so records show that the plane ascended to around about 11,000 feet before descending steeply and then disappearing completely. So I think yesterday there were debris was starting to be discovered from the plane, and they've now identified the black boxes from the flight. But as yet, no one yet knows why it was that the plane went down.
Yeah, so I think 62 people were on board. It's indeed really sad news. I think for Indonesia, I think the last crash was in 2018. I think it was the Lion Air Boeing 737 MAX. Of course, with the current crash, the investigation is still ongoing. But if you look at 2018, what had happened, I think without attributing any primary cause of the crash, I think some reasons were found, like faulty sensor, inadequate maintenance, poor pilot training, and so forth. So at this point, we do not know what's the reason for this recent crash. And also Indonesia, I think they apparently have the most people dying than any other country in the past 10 years as a result of a crash. So I think it's something, you know, the government has to look into quite seriously.
Yeah, that is definitely something concerning, especially because when you look at Indonesia, because of it's such a wide area, right? It's an archipelago, and it's so
It's very widespread.
It's a very widespread country, right? It's not all concentrated in one area. Oftentimes, you have to use either short-haul flights or boats or something to get across, right? It's not, you can't just drive anywhere you want to go. So it's sometimes you have a lot of these twin-prop planes and the smaller planes that do carry passengers around. Now, this 737-500 is a much older model. So oftentimes when you hear the word Boeing and crash, now we think of the 737 MAX, right? And mm-hmm. there were those two crashes. One was with the Indonesian airline. The other one was the Ethiopian airline, and that's been put on hold. So this 737-500 is a 27-year-old plane. So I think there are other things to take into consideration here. So we'll have to wait and see what the black box information tells us about, or tells the authorities about what happened there. Was this just the plane was too old? But then again, planes are generally quite old. They can be, as long as they're maintained well, they can be held for a very, very long time.
So notably, these older 737 models don't have the same kind of stall prevention system that have been implemented in the 737 MAX. And what Indonesia has come out to say about the crash is that air traffic control had asked the pilot why the plane was heading northwest instead of on its expected flight path just seconds before it disappeared. So the pilots themselves did have decades of experience with the flight captain reported to be a former Air Force pilot and his co-pilot at Sriwijaya Air also flying with the company since 2013.
Yeah, I mean, not to make this about business, but this isn't a good headline for Boeing on the back of the fact that last week it came out that they, with the DOJ, they settled a criminal charge for $2.5 billion they were fined over the 737 MAX issue. And basically, it came down to the fact that employees of Boeing had concealed information from the FAA during the investigation, and they paid $2.5 billion to settle the charges. And just when you think they've put that behind them, they've got this now to deal with. We'll have to see how this plays out. I mean, at the end of the day, there are only two plane manufacturers in the world, Boeing and Airbus.
Yeah, so we're going to be keeping a close watch on updates out of Indonesia, and we'll be bringing you more news as we get it ourselves. But in the meantime, turning our attention also over to the US. Now, earlier we were talking about the debacle that has surrounded Donald Trump in the wake of the US Capitol riots that we saw last week. And it turns out that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has told the House to move ahead with impeachment if President Donald Trump does not resign after helping to stoke the mob's takeover of the U.S. Capitol. So she's saying that it's the hope of members that the president will immediately resign. And I guess, you know, President Donald Trump is now once again facing the threat of impeachment. He's already been impeached once, but of course, that didn't follow through.
Yeah, so this separate bill that Pelosi referenced, she is drawing upon, I think, Republican Jamie Raskin of Maryland. They were looking to set up a commission as part of the formal steps for Vice President Mike Pence and the cabinet could take to remove Trump from office, because apparently the president has given no indication he will consider stepping down. But I think some questions still remain. Does Democrat have enough time to remove the president before inauguration day? And also, how many Republicans will actually want to show their support for this impeachment?
Yeah, and actually, if you take a look at some of the news here, David Sicilian, who is, I think, a Democratic politician, I'll have to get back to you on that. Dave said that there are 210 co-sponsors on the article of impeachment against Trump. And this is a tweet from him. We are going to hold Donald Trump accountable for last week's assault on the Capitol. The article of impeachment accuses Trump of incitement to insurrection. So it related to what we were talking about earlier, right? The seriousness of what the stoking of the flames that Donald Trump has been doing, not just last week, but for the last 4 years or more, actually.
So you might also be wondering why bother to impeach him, right? And the question there would be whether or not impeaching him now would potentially bar him from running for future office in 2024, which he has indicated that he might do. But right now, we're about to head into some messages. And then up next, we're going to be looking at our own local papers and portals, as well as a bit of social media. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Ordinary World by Duran Duran, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Before we get into what's happening on our local papers and portals, we've had some social media comments this morning. Ro, of course, has sent in a gem. What's he said, Roshan?
Well, Ro is, I think he's asking you, Lynn. I know he's asking you. Ro WhatsApped in saying, just wanted to ask Lynn, when she's hitting the pads, kickboxing, is she visualizing Roshan, Noel, Chuang, or maybe Xiaoning?
I'm sure it's just Roshan.
Gives a little hee-hee. Wow, great. Thanks, Noel.
I know, they confirmed
on throwing me under the bus. Oh, by the way, when Noel suggested planking in the office, Roshan said he wasn't on board with it. Get it? On board. Quite the comedian we have here, the WhatsApp comedian, always keeping us entertained when we check out the WhatsApps in the morning.
Absolutely. Now, our producer, Simwee Boon, has tweeted in as well in response to us asking when should a prominent figure be banned from social media. He's weighed in to say this is just a bar throwing out and banning a customer that has gotten rowdy, instigating fights. But he says it's quite lame because they're only doing it now because when they had so many chances to do so before. They're only doing it now because Trump's no longer president. And I think that is quite a prevailing sentiment when it comes to viewing this, what's been happening in the US, right?
Yeah, true. I mean, they're doing it because he's going out the exit door, but also because the attack on the Capitol is a very significant event, right? No one can say this is out of context. No, there is no context here to be had. This is a very clear indication that there is possibly, hopefully not, but possibly more to come when it comes to these attacks and stuff like that.
You know, when I look at some of the videos, right, I do wonder whether the rioters even realize the implications of their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Because
so.
They were so busy taking selfies. I wasn't even sure whether they were serious about it. This is very different from, like, you know, Hong Kong protesters protesting for
because
democracy.
They protected their identities. The protesters here were outright putting photos on social media, not hiding anything on that, but, you know, they're still international. We have a lot of local news to cover as well.
We do indeed. And one of the biggest pieces of news that came out yesterday was the fact that Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Dato Sri Mustapha Mohamed, has tested positive for COVID-19. And as a result, several ministers, including Mohamed Rizwan Yusuf Saifuddin Abdullah, they're now under quarantine because they attended a cabinet meeting with Dato Sri Mustapha on January 6th, I believe it was. So this is something that, of course, has been we've been watching quite closely. And because there are questions over how many others will be.
Malaysia Kini's got a story. Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin was among top Bersatu leaders who were in a meeting with Tok Ma, whose office yesterday confirmed that he had been infected with COVID-19. That said, Bersatu Information Chief Wan Saiful did note that meeting Mustapha had attended a Bersatu Supreme Council meeting on January 6th. So I guess it's about when he got infected. And seeing as the last time this happened to a minister, there was basically all the cabinet ministers went into some form of quarantine, right? So let's see how this plays out.
Yeah, I think ministers are always a vulnerable group because they have to meet so many people. But I understand, I think the Prime Minister does get himself tested quite frequently.
Yeah, I guess it's part of that SOP for them, right? And anyway, we are wishing him a speediest of recoveries, Tokpa. But speaking of ministers, I want to touch on this Penang Chief Minister for a second because, I mean, I don't want to be accused of being biased or anything like that. He got a new Mercedes-Benz last week, a 450,000 ringgit car. And if this was any other chief minister in this country, we would have called it out as well. I mean, in this time, I mean, I know the car was approved in November 2019, but that said, it is super just tone deaf to get this $500,000 ringgit car for the Penang Chief Minister while we are all concerned as a nation about the coffers.
I recall this piece of news, I mean, not about the Chief Minister of Penang, but another minister or a high-ranking official in somewhere in the East Coast, and I think he bought a very expensive car. And then somebody who justified the purchase said that, well, you don't expect him to travel in a Proton. And I'm saying, like, yeah, I expect him to travel in a Proton. It is supposed to be the national car.
Yeah, so this is something that it has certainly incited a lot of feelings over social media over this past weekend. And it is tone deaf and it is unfortunately quite ill-timed, right? Because we as a country, we don't generally bat an eye when politicians drive around in snazzy cars. But when, you know, everyone else is facing a COVID-19 pandemic, people have been laid off. No one quite knows where their future incomes are going to come from. Celebrating the fact that you've bought a very expensive car is maybe not what's to be done.
Even if he wasn't celebrating, the fact that, you know, they're hiding behind the fact that, oh, the state exco approved it in November 29, 2019. Well, a lot has happened since then. Maybe time to revisit the budget and the state budget and kind of see where you can cut costs and things like that. And most importantly, as a leader, you have to lead by example. It's very, I'll say it again, it's tone deaf. And yes, he's come out to say we need to learn from this and all of that, but I think you should have learned from this from before, right? I mean,
it's common sense.
Yeah.
So this is something that that we are going to be keeping an eye on. But right now, that is all that we have for you from the front pages of our newspapers this morning. We're about to head into the 7 o'clock news bulletin and then more business news and analysis. But here to take you to the news is the Creedence Clearwater Revival with Down on the Corner, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.